We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
I'm not going to be all right if this leg shaming keeps going on. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. And we're back on ESPN News. And it's great.
And we are presented by Progressive Insurance.
And I'm very excited about being back on TV. You guys can see a moving picture and not just some stills of us. But it's already started.
Yeah.
The leg shaming has already started.
For you.
We live in Connecticut. Yeah, I wore shorts today. Sue me. It's warm out and I'm comfortable. The sun has only recently started becoming a consistent part of our lives. And I'm already getting chirped on Twitter. And I'm already getting texts from Mike Ryan from the Levitard Show saying that people aren't sure where my shoes begin and where my pale white thighs end.
Okay, there you go.
It just, you know what? Like, I'm doing the best I can.
Can a man live?
I have a natural skin pigment challenge already that comes with this. I burn very easily. We haven't gotten a lot of sun. I'm trying.
Here is today, sunny and 80. Today's your day to get out there and get some color in those legs.
Or look like a lobster roll.
Well, you got to start there. Option. Start there until it browns up.
You got to burn a tan, baby.
It is amazing, though, looking at you, and you have such a Mediterranean feel.
More
to
darker,
your skin,
yeah.
Much like my dad. And then you are like, you know,
he's
piece of notebook paper.
He's not mine. So I don't know.
Thank God.
Hold on. Go on.
What are you saying here?
What do you mean?
Barking down the wrong tree this early in the morning.
I was about to say, I think we've stumbled on a hot new topic to bring in our calls on.
Mom!
We're glad you're with us. We feel like we're really moving in the right direction when it comes to the NHL. They put out their plan yesterday. Again, just a couple of hours from now, Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, is going to join us. We have a lot of questions about him. First of all, kudos to them for being forward thinking and finding a way to get through this, not only thinking about how to end this season, but also, as you heard Bill Daly, the deputy NHL commissioner, talking about what this means going forward for next season, and hopefully having them with fans in the arenas. And baseball is still stuck in the suck. We talked about that as they're haggling over money before they even get to the medical part of this and the testing and the protocols and all that kind of stuff. And then there's the NBA, which is sort of in between these two. The NBA looks in all ways, shape, or form that it is gearing up to do the Orlando thing. Going to be there, and we're either going to have a 16-team round robin or potentially have a couple of games where teams come in there and play a few games to end the season.
Well, if Mark Cuban has anything to say about it, every team will be involved.
Yes, and Mark Cuban will have something to say about it, but a lot of people will have something to say about it, including Damian Lillard, one of the best players in the NBA, who's basically put it out there, said, look, man, I love my team, I love my Blazers, but at this point, if I'm going there just to play a couple of games and I got no shot at making the playoffs, what am I doing it for? I don't think I'm going to go down that road.
So right now, if you look at a normal playoff schedule, the top eight in each conference, they are sitting in the 9 slot. They're actually games behind Memphis at 8, tied with New Orleans and Sacramento, but percentage point, they're 1 percentage point better. They played 2 more games. So they're actually sitting at 9, but they're 3.5 games back of that 8th playoff spot, if in fact they take 8 from each conference. That's what we don't know, Mike, at this point. We don't know if they're taking just the 8 from each conference. We already saw the NHL expanded. Will the NBA expand? Like Mark Cuban wants 10 from each conference. That would include Portland. They would be in then. So it's just a matter of what playoff, but basically what he's saying, part of me understands that says, okay, well, if I'm just coming to play a few games to play out your regular season string to get some games on TV to help with your network contract, and then I don't have a shot at the playoffs, why am I doing it? Well, one would be you can get paid that way. Remember, he's a higher paid guy, so guys that are making less money may be like, hey, wait a minute, speak for yourself.
Right.
You know, I'd like to go back even if I'm not going into the playoffs and make some money, though we haven't even gotten the financial side of it worked out yet.
He may be one of those guys that has to give money back. I'm not sure what his situation is.
Yeah, I think it's important remembering where the NBA is in their season, but I think if you're going to come back and bring all the teams back, there's only one way you can do that. But I want to hear Woj, our ESPN NBA insider, on the Will Cain show yesterday, talking about the potential expanded NBA tournament.
16 16 plus. Now, whether that's we have 20 teams or 24 teams, I don't think it's going to just be, I think it's unlikely it's 30, and I think it's unlikely that it's just 16. I think there's something in between that brings teams back, lets them have some games that essentially be treated as play-in games or pool play, and that might be the middle ground where there's enough, the teams you're bringing back feel like they have a chance to get in the playoffs, and it's reason enough for them to go through a month of training camp and quarantine to come back and try to make a run at it.
So, again, it's pretty clear from Woj that he believes it's not just going to be a 16-team postseason, which means those teams like the Blazers, who are on the outside looking in right now, there may be a way in a short and very condensed time where they have the opportunity to crash that party.
Well, yeah, Damian Lillard also said this, and I thought this was the most interesting look into the psyche of a lot of guys right now. And we've talked about this in one way, shape, or form, but this is one of the best players in the league saying this. It's going to be hard going to get going with no fans. You've been off all this time, and some people are just ready for summer. Bleep it. I haven't played in a long time, and the season's basically over for me. Do I really care like I cared before? It's going to be a lot of those factors going in that presents a lot of room for a team to sneak up on somebody. Like, really mess around and knock off some teams, and then, oh, we're in the Western Conference Finals. It's room for that with this situation. So the fact that it's possible and we wouldn't get an opportunity at that, that's weak to me, and I ain't getting no younger. He's basically saying what a lot of us have said. This time off creates a real uncertain ground, even for some of the best teams, because you've had all this time off and away from your teams. Guys have gotten healthy. Guys have more rest than usual. This is a chance to sneak up and maybe get somewhere your team couldn't or shouldn't have been before this, and they just want the opportunity. And even more, now they get to point to the NHL and say, well, look what they did.
Right.
Look what they did in a very similar situation, giving 75% of their league a chance at all this one. And you're not going to do at the very least that for us? Nah.
Yeah, and we've been down this road before, right? It was the season after the Last Dance, the 98-99 season, because of the work stoppage, that the Knicks, who were an 8 seed at that point, made it all the way to the finals, where they eventually lost to the Spurs.
So here's what you could do. According to Mark Cuban's plan, all 30 teams would participate. You take the top 10. So let's play that out really quickly in the East. The top 10 would go down to Washington and Charlotte. So it depends on how many regular season game more you're going to play, because Charlotte, the last team is the Cavaliers. They're 4 back. Atlanta's 4 back. You have Detroit 3.5 back. The Knicks 2.5 back. Chicago 1 back. So every team below the 10th is no more than 4 games back. Is there enough time in the regular season to maybe catch there? In the Western Conference, there'd be 2 teams that would be completely out. Minnesota and Golden State, there's no way they would have a shot to come back.
Well, Golden State's already packed their time.
Right.
I mean, let's be clear.
Right now, the 9th team is Portland, and the 10th team is tied between New Orleans and Sacramento, and only a half game behind them is the Spurs, and 2.5 back are Phoenix. So they're within that 10th slot, and as I said, Minnesota and the Warriors are too far gone. So to me, it would depend on how many regular season games you're playing. In the East, it's 4 games a couple teams would have to make up to get into the top 10, and at the most 2.5 for the teams realistically with a shot in the West if you brought everybody back.
I just feel like the NHL is giving you such a model where, looking at the idea of that play-in tournament, the Adam Silver.
So you say go to 24, the top 4.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
it just
they've laid it out for you.
They really have, where the top 4 in each conference play a round robin for seeding, and then the 5 through 12 play to get to the 16. They have given a nice format, and I mean, you just take it as this is an odd year, right? This is just one of those years that is kind of crazy, and you just kind of go with it.
You got to go with the flow this year. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Okay, I'm going to read this tease as it's written on my screen because it's fabulously weird. Coming up, something is wrong if the Bills don't win the AFC East, but is not what's wrong, but who is wrong for them. Sure. We'll get to that next. Go on, Wingo. ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Wingo here on ESPN Radio. ESPN News gets caught up on a little bit of what is trending. And Chase Elliott's rough week got a little bit better Tuesday. He won the NASCAR Truck Series race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. The win Tuesday comes 6 days after Busch wrecked Elliott in the Cup Series race at Darlington, and 2 days after Elliott's decision to pit late in the Coca-Cola 600 opened the door for a Brad Keselowski victory. Busch had won 7 in a row in the series and NASCAR's most successful truck driver. Elliott celebrated by mocking Busch's trademark bow. Busch was asked after about it in the race and said, "Nope, imitation is the strongest form of flattery," or something. I don't know what it is, but that's cute.
Sincerest.
That was he got the quote wrong, didn't he?
It all plays.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Miami Dolphins Hard Rock Stadium will be used to show marquee games in history, in team history, classic movies, commencement ceremonies, concerts, and more. The team is also hosting an open-air theater that can host small groups for intimate viewing experiences in the Complex Plaza. The Dolphins have mocked renderings of a drive-in venture, which they say can host up to 230 cars. The franchise is promoting it as a family-friendly event at the stadium that people can participate in amidst the coronavirus pandemic. Food and beverages can be purchased through an online system and delivered to cars, and restrooms will be made available.
Did it say anywhere in there some of the classic games are going to show, any focusing on the D-line?
I knew this was coming.
Miami
Dolphins.
I knew
this was coming, and I was hoping we could get through the segment.
Did it have anything about that in there?
Nope.
1993, the year of the D-line from Miami.
They erased that one completely from the vault.
It's kind of like my college years.
They said it's gone completely.
All right. I was just asking. All right, fine.
It's all you can do is ask. Meanwhile, all we can do is ask you to help us. It's time for another Golic and Wingo lesson plan. This time, the lesson plan is in creative writing. Give us your Cliff Notes at Golic and Wingo on Twitter of a Cliff Notes version of a show that you've binged during quarantine. Because listen, there are too many shows now. They're all over the place. We're not going to get to all of them. I know people love recommending shows to each other and everything. I'm not going to get to all of them. I have my own list of stuff. It's taken me a long time to get through it. So we need the Cliff Notes version of what you've binged during quarantine at Golic and Wingo. Give us your thoughts on Twitter. What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. The greatest mystery of all time is now streaming on Redbox. Don't miss the theatrical home release of Scoob. Discover Scooby-Doo's epic destiny and stream this premium rental with Redbox on demand today.
I just binged Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Chappie's doing that too.
Just, in like 2 days.
So Cliff Notes version.
Oh, just fantastic.
Let me guess. There's a lot of axes. And every once in a while they get in a boat and they conquer stuff.
The Cliff Notes version of the review.
The end stunned me. I didn't see this person going down.
It's already a spoiler.
You just went full Herm.
There's more than
you just
a,
went this, full Herm. Bad
no,
guys
oh,
got
no,
a dragon.
I did not. An ensemble cast. If Chappie's watching it, he knows.
Yeah.
I was a little stunned.
Chappie's working on the West Coast time. He won't be up before noon.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
That's the way that goes.
But yeah, that's been my latest binge. Vikings. Yeah.
I've got to get in on that. I got to get in. I have not
five or six seasons. I forgot what number it was.
Feel like I'm behind there, but I may have some time to catch some.
Yeah, you may.
So we'll see what happens there. All right, Golic and Wingo, glad you're with us on ESPN News and ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get away from the how do we come back and what are the financials and what are the protocols discussions for a minute, right? You want to just talk some sports?
Let's do it.
Wouldn't that be a really good idea? Let's talk some ball. Let's sling the ball all over the yard. And let's
sling the rock.
Either way.
Seriously.
Well, you said ball, so I just
went with
that.
What is going on here?
I'm not going to lie to you. The reflection off his legs is terrifying.
I'm giving you the easy out now.
Me the contrast with the waffle sole of your shoe, and it's just really messing up my eyes.
We are looking for Dan Orlovsky to save this segment.
Dan, are you there?
Well, thank God I am. Absolutely.
Sure enough. Dan, I've never so wanted to hear your voice than right now, let me tell you. Wow.
I don't know if that's a compliment, but I'll take it.
It is tough sledding in the man cave here.
You know what? It is shown that the bar is Dan's voice is clearly greater than sign my pasty white leg. So if nothing else, you got that going for you this morning, Dan.
Before we get into quarterbacks and where the season's going to go, Dan, let's look at some of the proposed rule changes that came from really the Alliance and the XFL,
yep,
which are no longer around, but they may have left their mark, which would be fantastic. And one of the first ones, I'm already envisioning, Dan, that everybody running some version of the Philly special when Philly scored that touchdown, to now that the team that doesn't want to have the onside kick and will choose a 4th and 15 will pick the WASP play, right? We'll pick the play from Kansas City, some sort of play that will get them 15 yards. What do you think of that rule change? Do you think that is a good one if that goes into play?
Yeah, they better have 4-2 speed with Tyreek Hill type players.
Yeah.
I don't mind the rule change. You know, I think that all depends. Like, again, if a team is in that situation and they go, you know what, our kicker is just not great at onside kicks. Like, it's just not something that he does really well. But, you know, we got some pretty good skill players and our offensive line has been having a good game and they're holding up. Like, yeah, absolutely. I'd much rather put it in the hands of my quarterback and skill players that are the strength of my football team than necessarily the onside kick. Now, maybe that takes away from what we traditionally know or that instant moment of the onside kick. But if I'm a coach and I have an opportunity and I'm objectively looking at my team and going, oh, we're really good at this and my kicker is not great at this, then I love the fact that I have that option.
Yeah, my only issue with that is that, look, first of all, the onside kick, whether or not the kicker's good at it, they're not.
The rules are against
it. The rules are against anybody recovering it right now. But my issue is, if we're going to do that, I don't want to get a holding 5-yard penalty automatic first down out of that scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. I know that that's out there and that it becomes this potential, okay, game, pass interference. Is it going to be refereed like Hail Marys are, you know, where there's a little bit more leeway and whatnot? I think you're going to have more bang-bang plays in that instance because you're going to tell your quarterback, this ball does not leave your hand. Like, this is an absolute heave of a throw in any capacity. It's like the last play of the game. So, you know, you're going to have more willing throws by quarterbacks to just give guys opportunities. So I think that the understanding of how that play, because it's not just any play, the understanding of how that play is going to be officiated is really important because you don't want ticky-tack calls. Right. And non-obvious calls in those moments.
ESPN football analyst Dan Orlovsky with us here on Golic and Wingo. So, Dan, going down onto the field, we talk so much about the quarterback classes every year, and this has been a weird offseason, so I don't know if we've been able to evaluate them like normal. You went back and took a look at Daniel Jones from last year as he took over. What was something you found that maybe the rest of us missed as far as his rookie season?
Yeah, he was really good with his ball placement, with his accuracy when they had to play against man coverage. And I started sitting there, and as I'm watching the tape, I'm going, man, that's a really nice throw with the receiver running away from a DB, and that's another really good throw there. And, man, the DB is all over that receiver, and that ball is thrown perfectly. And so I'm watching all this tape, and I'm taking these notes. And then I go to Hembo, who's kind of the guy that I go to research-wise. I said, Hembo, my eyes are telling me that Daniel Jones was bonkers last year versus man coverage. What do the numbers say? What do the analytics or the metrics say? And he came back to me with like this smiley face emoji. And he said, yeah, he had 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and a QBR of 71 against the man coverage. And I'm like, man, that I love when the numbers match the tape. And, you know, I remember when he was selected and, you know, I was like, my goodness, like how could you take Daniel Jones, who really doesn't do anything great? Like he doesn't do anything that wows me. How could you take him at 6? And breaking down a play the next morning on Get Up, and I said, by far, his number one trait that he does well is his accuracy. And so I'm kind of piecing it through my brain again over the past couple of days, I started to sit there and go, really, in the NFL, the number one physical trait a quarterback needs to have against man coverage for himself is ball placement. And every guy in the NFL is accurate, right? Every guy is. It's the NFL. But can you have NFL accuracy? And I think I maybe undervalued how accurate of a player he was. Coming out, and he was really good. Now, he was really bad versus zone defense. And I think that's a combination of not understanding coverage totally, which is part of the growing curve, and windows being smaller and closing faster, and the arm just being average. But versus man coverage, he was lights out.
So Daniel Jones, accurate his rookie year. Let's go to the AFC East, where there was a quarterback who was drafted in the first round who came out of college with accuracy issues. It's gotten a little bit better. But Jim Kelly, the Hall of Famer, has basically said, Dan, if the Bills don't win the AFC East, something's wrong. A, is he right? And B, if he is, how big of a year is this for Josh Allen?
He's absolutely right. There is a wide margin in the AFC East right now. It is the Bills on top, and then I've said this. I think the conversation is who wins second place, who finishes second in that division. I don't think it's Buffalo and New England as the two favorites, and then Miami and the Jets. Could I see the Jets, if everyone stays healthy, challenging for second place in that division? I could. They were 7-6 with a healthy Sam Darnold last year, and so they've become better as a roster, while the Patriots have become worse. And so massive year for Josh. There's no debating, no doubt about it. He needs to find a way to go over 60% as a passer and yep. have over 3,500 yards and more than 20 touchdowns. And the addition of Stephon Diggs is actually obviously a big deal. But here's the thing. I think, like, so for people to understand, really quarterbacks can be boiled down to two things, thinkers or reactors, you know, and you can win and be really good and great in both aspects. And what I think happened last year with Brian Daboll, their play caller, and Josh Allen was he realized Josh is a reactor, and I need to put him in situations where he can just react. And he started to play pretty darn good football. I do not think this is a make-or-break year for Josh Allen. It is a very big year, and he needs to play well and continue on that trend, and I expect him to. But this is not this make-or-break year where he has to go and become somebody that he's not. He's never going to be a 70% completion guy. That's just never going to be who he is. And we can't ask him to be. It's an important year, no doubt about it, but not a make or break year by any means.
When it comes to Josh, so you're saying it's not a make or break year for him, but if we have something that resembles what we got last year from Mitchell Trubisky, could we be talking about, at the very least, someone brought in to compete with Josh Allen in Buffalo next year?
Yeah, I think you could justify that. I don't expect that to happen. First of all, the players around Josh are exponentially better than what Mitchell had last year, too. And I was adamant last year that Matt Nagy misused Mitchell Trubisky. That's why I made that point of Brian Daboll, you know, and him really getting a feel for what Josh does well and doesn't do well. And so, yes, if he has this year, like, here's the thing that this is why it's not a make or break year for a guy like Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen. Ben Roethlisberger's third year in the NFL, he threw for 18 touchdowns. He threw 23 interceptions. He threw for 3,500 yards. Like, no one was calling for Ben Roethlisberger to get moved because he had a bad third season. Like, this is a developmental position, and guys incrementally get better. Ryan Tannehill's a perfect example of that last year. And so if Josh goes out and throws for 15 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, and you go, my goodness, why this massive decline in production? Yeah, we're going to have conversations about that. And it is a important year, and he does have to play well. But it's not like if Josh Allen doesn't throw for 35 touchdowns and 70% completion percentage and they go 13-3, he doesn't have to do that to go, okay, Josh is good. Like, he just needs to continue to trend and two or three times this year be the reason that they win the football game rather than the top three defense or a dominant run game.
Yeah. Look, I hear you, but the Baker thing is different to me because everybody that drafted him ain't there anymore. So I feel there's a little more pressure on Baker for this new group of people coming in to make sure, hey, let's justify that we have this reason with the number one pick. And much like Josh, he's got all the weapons and everything he needs around him now in terms of tackles, tight ends, all that kind of stuff. Dan, we appreciate the time. I'm sorry, but we're just running up against the clock, buddy. We appreciate
You're
the
good,
time.
Brother.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
Dan.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with Baker. That's the only thing I would say is, like, it is a the guys that drafted Josh are still there in Buffalo.
It's an interesting point Dan brings up, though, about how we grade quarterbacks now when they're comparatively cheaper on your roster versus Ben, the guys from the older CBAs where you were sinking more money in your quarterbacks early, and there was incentive for you to maybe stick around longer versus now where, especially with guys like Mitch, where you could decline that fifth-year option and really get out of some money. is it more prudent maybe now than ever to make those decisions sooner? I don't know.
I totally agree. I think we've seen a lot more of that since 2011 when the new CBA came in place, right, and those first-year contracts weren't $70 million guaranteed. Okay, lots more to get to, including SportsCenter. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo, and the Pugs, or one of the Pugs, are now with us as we're
Hank
back
is
on the
here. Hank has arrived on the scene, yes. Yeah.
And I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
No, he is not.
Is he comfortable in the new surroundings?
Very comfortable. He'll be sleeping soon.
Uh-oh, okay. Here comes the bull in the china shop.
There he
goes. Stone Cold music.
Harry is back into the show. Barrel full of energy, looking for new things to break.
This may be when things get unplugged.
So you know what?
For everyone watching on TV, you now get to see what we've been dealing with behind the scenes for a while now, which is the home setup in all of this involving the dogs that live here and their wanton disregard for a radio or TV show that's happening here. They came for pets and they came for licks and they ain't leaving until they get them.
And they're so cute. Yeah. So we're happy to have them with us. And we're happy to be joined by our next guest, who has done such a great job, by the way, along with Boog Chambi and everybody else on the Korea Baseball Organization games. It's our fine ESPN play-by-play man and everything else in baseball, Carl Ravitch. Ravi, thanks for being up with us this morning. We appreciate your time. So, weird day yesterday with the Major League Major League Baseball giving that proposal to the in terms of the revenue to the players, and looks like a ridiculous amount of cuts in the salaries, and then the players are responding basically saying, you know, Tony Clark basically came out there and saying, hey, this was a first offer and it's unacceptable. Are we going to get this done? I mean, Jeff Passan seems very optimistic about it, but where are you right now?
Unfortunately, we've all seen the movie before. So,
right.
I think the idea that it's so public is the biggest disappointment, but that's always the way that the association and the union do business. So if that's the way they always do business and the outcome is generally they get back on the field, then I'm cautiously optimistic. But I do think, like we've seen before, there's a little more attention being paid. Players are certainly more in tune with what's going on. Their agents are communicating. They're communicating. I do think that they're a bit more, I don't want to say smarter because I don't think it's fair to compare generations. I just think that they're more informed, and I think there are more business savvy guys than there were back even in the mid to early 90s. So I do think there's attention paid to it. I think they find it unfair, but I think they're always going to find it unfair until they get to a place where they find it fair. So the first salvo, not a shock. That's sort of my reaction to it. Acrimony goes hand in hand with their negotiations, and it doesn't seem to be the case with other leagues and other unions, and baseball is famous for it, and I'm not taking a particular side in any of this, but this is how it works. I think it's terrible the way it works, but it is how it has worked.
One of the things, Ravi, that happens is it goes public because you look for public sentiment. And the one thing, certainly from Trey and I's all our years in this, we've seen mostly the fans say, oh, those millionaires, they're so greedy. Right. And my son Mike's point is, hey, people forget about the guys who have the B at the beginning of their net worth, the billionaires, but it's always the players. Do you see a potential shift in that where the public would actually side with the players a little more, or do you still think it's going to be the old way?
I think you got to just look at it from a worker employee perspective, because most of the people who are out there commenting are workers and employees, meaning social media, Twitter, Insta, whatever it might be. Those are the people that get paid by the owners. There's almost an expectation as an employee that your owner is going to try to take advantage of you, that they own the company and you are the labor. And in this case, the people that are commenting on labor share a seat at the table with the players, hardly with the number of zeros at the end of their paycheck. But similarly, we are the employee. We are getting asked to give money back, whether we are in the healthcare field, the fast food field, we're gas station attendants, we're broadcasters. Everybody can relate to the request. So players are in a difficult position because everybody that they're looking to have comment on their plight, if you will, are in a similar situation. It's going to be very hard for the player to generate a great deal of momentum behind that. And, you know, like you said, we heard poor players, it's going to be hard to put food on the table. The truth is they likely can all put food on the table at a prorated salary at another cut. It's a hard argument to make because generally they're all making more than most of the people that are commenting on social media. So when you get into a public forum, it's a very difficult position for a player to be in because everybody commenting on it are in a similar seat, just minus the zeros at the end, and they're not going to have a lot of empathy. They never do.
ESPN baseball play-by-play announcer Carl Ravage with us here on Golic and Wingo. Carl, the other thing I thought was interesting from the Players Association response to this, as succinct as it was that they were also far apart on the health and safety side of things in all this. And I'm curious, you've been calling the Korea Baseball Organization games and getting familiar with that side of things. What have you seen from both how they've gone about the health and safety practices there and how it's worked, how it's been received by players and generally functioned in that league?
I think you have to look, Mike, at the cultures, and they're very different cultures, and they're very different countries, and there's a great deal of individualism in this country, there's a great deal of constitutionality in this country, and as we've talked to those folks that live in Korea, players who live there and now have come back to the United States, they fall in line. If the country says, here's how this is working, and we're all locked down, and we're not going to have a gradual reopening, they listen. There is no or very little pushback on anything that they are told to do. In the case of the protocols, they all walk in and out the same door. The temperatures are taken. They know if one player tests positive, they shut the league down. Honestly, I think the idea that was sort of a tagline to the proposal, we also are far apart on health and safety and protocols. I looked at that as sort of a throw-in line. And by the way, we still got problems here. That part, I think, can be worked out. But that's only if they want to work it out. I mean, you imagine yourself in a player position. I'm not sure that you would ever be completely satisfied with safety protocol and health if you don't want to be. You could always fall on some sword and be right in your opinion and say, oh, God, that's really still too much risk for me. I don't know how you argue against that either, because there's going to be some gray and zero chance of any type of spike is impossible to guarantee or promise. It's impossible. So you always have the ability to say we're kind of far apart on that too.
Well, you're right, and it's kind of like when someone gets hurt in football and someone comes in and plays really well. I'm like, well, he still might be a little injured. You know, you give yourself that room there. Carl, real quickly, as we're running up against the clock here, Jeff Passan has said early June. It's June on Monday when they need to get this thing done. Do you think that timeline is accurate?
I think there will be a decision made by then. I do. I think that is accurate. I think there will be a decision made by then, and I would be a 75-25 something will get done, and would not be shocked if it doesn't get done quickly. For pug owners, have you heard about the pug rules? Do you know what the pug rules are?
No,
I have not heard about.
No,
the pug
I have
rules.
Not.
Because these pugs have no rules.
I
let's
should.
Be clear.
I'm going to give you these quick. The pug is not allowed in the house is rule one. Rule two, okay, pug is allowed in the house, but only in certain situations. Rule three, pug is afforded in all rooms. The focus is off the furniture. Rule four, pug is only allowed on the old furniture. Rule five, first the pug is allowed on all the furniture, but is not allowed to sleep with the humans. Rule six, okay, pug allowed on the bed, but only by invitation. Rule seven, pug can sleep on the bed whenever he wants, but not under the covers. Rule eight, pug can sleep under the covers. Rule nine, humans must ask permission to sleep under the covers with the pug. 10, in all cases of dispute, the pug rules. Right?
Very good.
I said, Carl, I knew if anyone would come correct with the pug knowledge, it was going to be you, and it couldn't be more apropos for this
long-time
situation.
Long-time pug
right
owner. You got it.
There you go. And Carl, real quickly, what about last night's special presentation of the 2016 World Series Game 7 with yourself, Joe Maddon, and David Ross? That had to be fun.
It was really cool. I mean, basically it was like, holiday season, Christmas time. We take out the old movies. Everybody sits around and tells the stories they remember from those moments. You know, when Grandpa dropped or spilled his beer all over somebody and the house caught fire. These were guys reliving that Game 7 of 2016. Like, Chris Bryant doesn't remember the first at bat. Dexter Fowler says hands while watching this replay were sweaty, that he'd never really watched the game again. So you got a lot of neat stories sort of in real time. Even though they knew the outcome, there was anxiety from the Cubs. It was kind of neat.
Well, that is cool.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, Ravi, work on that stroke on the putting green. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
all right?
Carl.
God bless. Thanks. Good to see you.
Pug rules.
How about that? Coming strong with the pug rules.
Yeah, he knows.
Loved everything about that.
We've all dealt with it.
Correct. And we are currently dealing with it now. Coming up, one way the match could have even gotten better with even more goats. We'll play either, neither, or both. Next, Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN Pug News.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Golic and Wingo here reminding you, if you missed our interview today with Dan Orlovsky, go check out the entire thing on demand in the Golic and Wingo podcast brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet?
So you want to do it?
Yeah, I think it's that time, guys. Golic and Wingo here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're playing either, neither, or both today. I trust that the pug on my lap is the only one that needs an explanation for how this goes anymore.
I was about to say the only ones that are going to get both are the pugs.
And honestly, they retain information better than both of you most of the time. So I'm going to give you a couple options. You're going to tell me if either, neither, or both of those are going to be true. And we're all going to feel good about things.
I don't like the way you're talking.
I don't either.
I don't like the way you guys are looking at my pale white legs. And so we all have something in common. Dad, either, neither, or both here will win an actual playoff series. A 12 seed in the NHL playoffs, a 10 seed in the NBA playoffs.
Again, if that's where we go in the NBA, that would be under Mark Cuban's proposal. I will say either, and I will say the NHL. I said, we've seen these kind of upsets, not 12, but lower and higher. We've seen that more than a few times. So, and especially in these times of how players come back, I could see it happening there again. I don't see it overall in a series in the NBA as much. So I'll go either and I'll go NHL.
I will go either in the NHL as well. What happened last year? In January, the Blues had the fewest points in the NHL and they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. So yeah, we've seen all this kind of stuff happen in the NHL before. I absolutely will say either and make it a 12 seed in the NHL winning a playoff series.
The 10 seed in the NBA would be under Mark Cuban's proposal that would certainly involve a lot more of the teams in this. The NHL putting a lot of pressure on everybody, involving up to 75% of its teams. Either, neither, or both, Trey, will be in the next match. Michael Jordan,
oh boy.
Steph Curry.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say either, and I think it's going to be Steph Curry. I think Jordan at this point, I think he's done talking or being in the public eye for anybody or any reason. And we'll get into another one of those reasons a little bit later with some contradicting audio one way or the other. And Steph would be perfect for this. He's hilarious, he's engaging, and he's an excellent golfer. So I'm going all in on Steph Curry in the next match.
So here's the thing. I would say either and Steph Curry if there's, you know, but Jordan never. Is Steph too good? Don't you want guys that could screw up like we saw Tom Brady and like we saw Peyton Manning? I don't want to see
Steph is too good for mere mortals. What we saw here, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady by normal mortal standards are probably pretty darn good.
I don't think they're near Steph though. Isn't Steph close to scratch?
Steph is close to scratch. So he's played in a couple of web.com tours.
And these guys are like Peyton and Brady was listed as an 8, which seemed laughable.
Right.
So Steph is way better than these two. I don't think I want guys that good in this.
But
I want guys in the area of a 10 handicap.
I guess the only difference would be the pressure situation changes everything. And like when you're lining up next to Tiger and Phil.
Yes.
I mean, like he's played web.com tours. That's one thing. It's another thing to go out there and do what trying, I mean, stand next to
Let
those
Let me ask
guys,
you a question. Was it more fun when they were looking in the palmettos for their ball or if they were in the fairway all
we
the time?
We also got lucky because it was a torrential downpour and awful weather. I don't know if it would have looked nearly as bad in ideal conditions.
I agree.
I'm going to go either, and I'm going to go Steph Curry.
Okay.
And I'm going to say I think these guys will all look worse next to Tiger and Phil than we give them credit for in a lot of this. Trey, either, neither, or both are going to get traded before the season. Jamal Adams, Leonard Fournette.
Well, the interesting thing there is, and I like Leonard Fournette, but the question becomes, what's the trade value for Leonard Fournette, right? I think there's a little more of an uptick in the trade value for Jamal Adams, so I'm going to say either, and Jamal Adams is the more likely of those two as their percent. I'm not saying he will, but if those are my options, I'm saying Jamal Adams.
I'm going to say either, and I'll say Leonard Fournette. Jacksonville doing whatever they can to get Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah, I mean, with that... You're just saying siphon off everybody, go full tank on this one? I'm going to go neither. I don't think either gets traded. I don't think Jamal Adams is going to get moved. I think that situation is going to continue to devolve and get uglier. And I think I'm more with Trey. I just don't see a running back getting moved.
Good Lord, Harry is just taking all the hair off your legs right now.
It is. It's a lick fest over here. Either, neither, or both here on Golic and Wingo. Dad, either, neither, or both will win the MVP / and make the playoffs. Kyler Murray, the Cardinals.
I'm going to say neither. I don't think he's there yet to win the MVP. The MVP goes to one of the better teams, and I don't think they're there yet. They're in a tough division, and I don't think they make the playoffs this year. So I'm going neither.
I'm with you. I'm neither, and it's not to say that they aren't better.
I think they'll all improve. Yes. I think Kyler and the Cardinals will be better.
But to be an MVP, you got to be a really good quarterback on a playoff team, and I think the NFC West is just loaded right now. So I'm going
to
go neither.
To be an MVP, you have to be a former first rounder on a team going into playing second year as a starter.
Playing quarterback.
A former first rounder playing quarterback in his second year as a starter on a team whose roster is improved.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar. I'm going to go either. I'm going to go the Cardinals make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm ready to book that one. I think the Cardinals are due for a massive improvement.
We're doing either, neither,
or both. That's Thursday.
By the way, love and shove stuff.
According to our FPI, our ESPN FPI, where the rankings came out yesterday, the Cardinals have a 25% chance to make the playoffs, which ranks 23rd in the league and worst among NFC West teams. I don't buy that with the Rams this year. I got major questions about that Rams outfit, even though Jalen Ramsey is reporting to camp without having that contract ironed out. He says his agent, the Rams, on the same page with this.
Nice to hear that after serving the Brinks truck in Jacksonville.
Yeah, a different story. Amazing what the tune changes when all of a sudden the stare down's not between two particular guys in that situation.
Yeah, I was about to say, not much change except for one thing there. Really interesting. All right, coming up next, why one of our analysts thinks Jim Carrey should play Michael Jordan in the movie about The Last Dance, as in Liar, Liar. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo.
Pants on fire.